This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Baseball season's underway.
Everybody, it's time for another episode of Geek and Sassy.
Yay!
I'm Jennifer Smith, and here with Miranda, as usual. Say hi, Miranda.
Hi! You said my name for me, so I didn't have to forget it this time.
We have had a couple of scheduling conflicts that have pushed back our recording by a couple of weeks, so I know you've been, everybody, our listeners have been pining away for, just clamoring for another episode, and we can finally deliver.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
Deliver, like, coughing. I'm here to deliver, but there will be some coughing and some gross, sorry, can't help it. I've had strep, and I don't feel like I'm actually getting over the strep, so.
They need to put you on those good meds.
Well, when you're allergic to penicillin and codeine, you're very limited to
that
what
is
good meds.
You're like a freak of nature.
I really am, so I just gotta let it do its thing at this point, so.
Besides being sick, what's up with you?
Well, the day before I got sick, something amazing happened.
What was it?
The goat. The curse of the goat is no more. The Cubs are 2016 World Series champions.
Woohoo!
Go, Cubs, go!
I know you were excited.
Go, Cubs, go! Oh my gosh. I stayed up until like 2 o'clock in the morning because of like overtime and rain delay. And then you had to watch them celebrate. And I lost my voice, and so the next morning when I woke up, I thought I genuinely had just lost my voice, and no, I had strep throat. But that was, like, the most amazing thing. I watched grown men cry, literally.
I love it.
It was fantastic. I mean, we've been waiting 108 years for this. And to those of you that are like, oh, that's sweet. She's a Cubs fan because her husband is from Chicago. Eat it, you asswipe. I have been a Cubs fan since high school when I went to my first professional baseball game. And I watched those boys play. And I said, oh, shit, that's my team. That's it. It's done. I have chosen this. And my family, they're not baseball. They're not like big baseball family. We're big like college basketball, college football. So it was very, I picked that myself. My brother, who is, yes, a bandwagon fan, he's a Boston Red Sox. So this was my own doing. So it was my very own happiness just as much as it was my husband's, for sure. He grew up with it, obviously, from a kid on. So it was a different level of, like, excitement for him than it was for me. And I was excited to see that happen for him, too. I will say that.
Did he cry?
Yes!
Really?
Oh, he's only, obviously, at our wedding, there was some, you know, tears. And then when we had our son, and this, I think, is, like, only the third time in the, we've been married for 11 years, so we've been together for 12 years almost, that's like the third time, maybe the fourth, that I've ever seen tears from my husband's eyeballs.
Wow.
So I was pretty, like, he won't get mad that I say that, because, I mean, we know old, like, in their 80s men that were crying, like, I got to see it. So, it was great. It's the best thing ever.
Awesome. How was Halloween for you guys?
My kid didn't complain this year. Like, he was telling all the other kids that we went with, he was like, why are you complaining? This is what you're supposed to do. It's Halloween. You know, you, like, walk the streets and get candy. Like, you're allowed. He was being, like, this little smartass. And then he went to, there was this one house. It was probably the best house in our whole, like, adventure that night. And it's this old retired colonel, because, you know, living here in Enterprise, we have a lot of military. It's this old retired colonel. It's not old, but, you know, you can retire after 20 years. Some of them are still, like, only in their 60s, you know? Mm-hmm. So he did, and his sons, who are not much younger than you and I, but they did Jason, Freddie, and Michael.
Nice.
And they were on the front porch. And the old colonel was Jason, and he literally just stood, like, perfectly still, like he does, and he just stood there on the porch. And then when the kids came up, Freddie or Michael would hand out the candy. But Kay, like, all these other kids are, like, terrified to go, because he's, like, perfectly still, like, the whole night. Like, we passed his house, like, four times trying to get to everybody, and I swear he didn't move. Like, I was dressed as Cinderella, and I even went up to him, and I was like, would you like to dance, sir? And I, like, bowed in front of him, and you can tell by the noise he's making that he's trying so freaking hard not to laugh. But Caden walks straight up to him, and he puts his fist out, and he's like, my brother, man! He's like, we're buds! He's, like, pounding on his chest. Like, oh god, I'm gonna get worked up.
Oh, no.
He's pounding on his chest like he's like this 18-year-old frat boy is like, what's up?
So
all the kids are like terrified. And him and the 3-year-old are like, yeah. I was like, oh god, is this my done? It was great. Much better than last year. We did like a street and a half, and he was like, can I go home? I got enough. So, I was pleased.
Yeah, it does seem like you kind of put a lot of effort in, and then sometimes not get the reaction that you want. That can be frustrating.
Well, the day after, he came home from school, and like all the candy was piled on the table, and he walks up to it, and he looks around, and I wish you guys could see, like, me trying to mimic what he was doing, but he was, like, bobbing his head up and down. He puts his hand on his heart. He goes, I am so proud of this. It's like, just had to walk in the other room and take a moment, because I didn't want to laugh at him, you know, but it's funny.
Oh, it is funny. Ours was kind of low-key. There weren't many people out for whatever reason, maybe because it was Monday.
I heard that there's that, like, one subdivision over in Dothan that, like, everybody flocks to.
Yeah, we weren't in that one. I mean, it was still a nice neighborhood, but it was just not many people had their lights on. Some people had their house decorated, but it was few and far between. I don't know. It just seemed like everybody was kind of meh about Halloween this year.
Well, do you think, like, at Enterprise, I noticed, like, my whole street was black. We went to the neighbors when we got back because they're flight school students, so they don't have any kids or anything. They were out there. We pulled in the driveway and parked, and then Caden went over there real quick. But, like, my whole street was dark, pretty much, but their house and one other that the other one has college kids in it. And I wonder, is it because all those houses, and I know they are, they all have kids. So do you think that's, I mean, the average, like, family now doing in a subdivision, like, they all have kids.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's, like, the whole, like, going to a subdivision used to be the big thing, but now I'm seeing a lot of these subdivisions that they're dark for, like, the whole night.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's because they're, you know, everybody there is, you know, has a kid.
I don't know. It was weird. Anyways, what else we got?
Well, I mean, We've decided we're not going into it because we are not a political podcast. We are Geek and Sassy. But, I mean, big changes. I mean, Cubs won the World Series. Our kids went trick-or-treating. You went on a cruise. Right. We have a new president. I mean,
you know, stuff happens.
Things have happened, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't know about these things, you know, Halloween, Jitty's cruise, me being sick, our new president, then you probably live under a rock.
I mean, you do. I mean, it's front page news all the time.
Right.
You can't get away from, you know, status updates about your sickness and my cruise.
And that's what is important to me, and that's what I feel like people need to know about.
Right.
So,
I agree. I'm glad we can agree on things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
That was our current events segment.
Yeah, that's all you guys are getting from us.
So,
not getting anymore. So
let's tell some stories about our kids.
Okay.
Because I have a good one.
So do we want to bring back that segment that we decided to invent a while ago?
Let's do that.
Okay, so for those of you that don't remember, Jenny and I created a segment where we would talk about our kids specifically because, for one, this podcast is about us and being fangirls that we are, but they make us. They brought the fangirl back out of us because of the different things that they're not interested in. So, without further ado, if my voice cracks, guys, you're just going to have to laugh and get over it. So, Adventures of Evil Midget and Boo Boo.
Nice. Good job.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm better. I'm not dying. I'm not dying at Ron. Oh, I'm okay. I'm not a smoker. I know it sounds like it. I promise it's just strep.
All right. So we had an adventure in my house recently. Has Kaden ever been online in an app in some way on a game and purchased in-app like bundles or something that is within the game that you can only use within the game?
He's done it a couple of times. The most significant was he was maybe 4, and we had the Xbox that he had started playing various games on, and he kept seeing this, it was an add-on, it was a, if I could remember the name of it, some of you may know it, it was like this for families carnival game on your Xbox where you could play like carnival type family night game kind of things, and there was an add-on for this like monkey game, right? So, but you have to have this game to get the additional game content. Now, Xbox doesn't look at it and go, oh, we don't recognize that you have this game registered on your system, so you don't need this. And we're thinking, like, why wouldn't we need to put, like, passwords or restrictions or anything like that? So we woke up. We had, like, a $59.99 charge in our account to Xbox. And, of course, I'm looking at my husband, and I'm like, what'd you buy? And he goes, I didn't. What'd you buy? And I'm like, I didn't. And Caden's like, see, the monkey. I got the monkey. Like, he was so excited. And we start reading it, and we're like, oh, shit. We don't even have this game to play this, what has he done? He, sorry, mine just came out of his room and I got all like, what? So yeah, that was the first time. And then we kind of put a passcode, like where you have to hit in certain keys to get into, my husband's account. Cause it was through his with where the debit cards were linked to. So that was our first encounter was like $60, which I was like, ah! Yeah.
Well, we've always been very technology friendly with him. He got a Kindle when he was 3, and we, you know, we loaded apps on there, mostly educational type things, learning to read and numbers and all that stuff. You know, that's when he first started playing Angry Birds, which is his great love of life, in life, is Angry Birds. So we've graduated up to the iPad Mini, and, you know, he has pretty free reign on that. We don't, I mean, we monitor it, but it's not something that we're hovering over his shoulder with for most of the time. So we've never really felt the need to go in and put any kind of notifications or restrictions in there or passcodes, like you said, because he's seven and, you know, we feel like he's never really done anything he wasn't supposed to do as far as buying things. So I come home on Saturday and just like, oh, I wonder how much money's in the bank. And I'm checking my bank statement or on the online app. And there's four withdrawals totaling $350.
Oh, my God.
From iTunes.
You told me you weren't going to tell me. Oh, my God. Okay, now you have to tell me what he bought, because I'm like, where? How the hell do you even do $350?
Well, when I came home, you know, he was, right when I came in the door, he was showing me stuff on Angry Birds. So he's like, I got this slingshot, and, you know, watch me play this, and so I'm watching him. I'm like, how did you get all this stuff? He's like, well, with coins, I earned these coins, and then I bought them with the coins. So I'm thinking within the game coins. And I'm like, that's weird or whatever, but I didn't, honestly, I didn't think that much about it because he plays Angry Birds all the time. And then when I saw the charges, I was like, $108, another $108, $93, $37, and it just kept piling on. I'm like, did we get, I take it to John, I'm like, did we get our identity stolen? Like, what's wrong? Like, because I don't have an iPhone. He has an iPhone, and Ethan has an iPad. I don't do Apple anything, so I'm like, what is happening right now? I don't have access to this stuff. You need to look at it. Freaking out. And then it clicks with me, and I'm like, this is Angry Birds. He had bought, like, these bundles of coins and, like, slingshots and, like, Mighty Eagles and stuff to use in the game. All this is just digital content to use in the game.
Right.
And so, you know, Mom had her little freak out. And, you know, I put the fear of God in that child. It was not pretty.
Oh, wow. See, I do. I am an iPhone user. I have an iPad, too. And I actually, a few years ago, Caden didn't, I think it was only like $20, but still it was like that first $20, I caught it pretty quickly. So now, even for mine, like on my phone, you can't just go in there and say, yeah, I want to download that app, even like a free app. It makes me enter my password or put my thumbprint in. Like, well,
I think that we do have a password on there. I think that maybe we had just typed it in recently, so it had kind of saved, like it didn't prompt him to put in a password, it just let him do it. So,
well, you can mark that you don't want it to ask you,
right?
You know, even if you have one, you can tell it, like, oh, yeah, I have one, but I don't want it to ask me. And I'm always like, nope, ask me every time. I don't want him. And he will bring me and he'll be like, oh, look, if I get this for my game, then I could do this. And I'm like,
nope.
Well, there's been a few times that I know he has money that he's earned and it's in his little wallet. So I'm like, how much would that be? All right, bring me $4. So,
well, we called Apple or iTunes or whatever, whoever we called. And they walked us through, you know, like, hey, this is how you put on the restrictions. And so it's now restricted. He cannot buy in-app purchases. And the guy was basically like, all right, look, everybody gets one. So, you know, we're going to refund this.
Oh, they refunded all of it?
They refunded all of it. To my shock, I did not think that they would do that.
Oh, no, I honestly didn't see that coming.
Like, yeah. Maybe just because it was $350. I don't know, but I was very grateful to them for doing that. And so that was very much an adventure with my boo-boo. One that he will not soon forget.
So is he, does he have restriction right now on...
No,
like,
well,
no iPad, no.
No, we, you know, I think that he realized what he did was wrong, and he has since apologized for it several times, just out of the blue. You know, I'm sorry I spent all that money. I'm sorry I spent all of our money.
Oh, mine does that too. He's like, our money, what are we going to do? And I'm like, yeah. Our money?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, his grandmother thought the whole thing was just adorable, and, pleaded with me not to punish him too severely, because he's just a little boy.
You notice, my mom does that too, and I, like, sometimes I'm on the phone with her, like, telling her what happened, because she'll be like, what happened? And I'll tell her, like, whatever the story is for that moment, and I'm sitting there, and I can see myself and I feel myself where my mouth is genuinely, like, open and, like, shock. Like, it's just my jaw is gaping. Because she's going on and on about, he's such a good kid, and he's a sweetheart, and he's such a good boy, and he's a boy, and they do things like... And I'm just sitting there going... Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I'm playing back, like, I'm the oldest, and then I have two brothers. And I'm playing back, like, if we had done any of these things, like...
Yep.
The spoon would have come out of the drawer.
You ain't kidding.
No. I just find it funny mm-hmm. how lax Grandma gotten. And I'm like, do you not remember punishing me for the same thing? Well, now, Miranda. And I'm like, don't well now me. Stop patronizing me, Mother.
I mean, $350. If it was...
Like us, I
if
mean,
it
we've
was,
gone through 8 pairs of glasses now.
I'm like, no, that's just... It's not cool. I mean, he has to know that that's just not going to fly.
Of course. Wow. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. So
I knew it had to be pretty bad when you were like, I don't want to tell you how much. I want to wait. And I was like, okay. I was thinking like maybe 100 and so. Oh!
Oh, my goodness. So on to brighter topics. What have you been streaming and reading?
Streaming. I'm still streaming Gilmore Girls because I want to rewatch all of them in their entirety before Revival comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And watching them when you're sick and medicated, you do things like cry.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I was like, "Why am I doing?" Oh my god, I'm just gonna go to sleep now. And of course, I got like behind on all the CW shows, and then I caught up on them because it's like our favorite thing to talk mm-hmm. about. And I noticed, I think Russell posted in Weekly Comics group maybe, and he was like my top, and he numbered them mm-hmm. for last week.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one that was like Legends.
No, I loved Legends.
I mean, zombies!
Yeah.
Freaking zombies during the Civil War!
Yeah,
you just made my head go...
That show is so much fun.
And this may strike people as odd, but I have always enjoyed the time period in which the Civil War happened.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the culture, what our country overcame during that time, the clothing, their speech, the way they treated each other, like everything from that time period, like completely appeals to me. And so anytime there's anything where they're like, and we're going to do the Civil War, I'm like, and I'm going to watch it. like I have seen the North and South, which is like what, like four or 5 hours long.
Yeah.
I've seen it multiple times. They had a show on PBS this past winter maybe, Mercy Street, and it was all about like the hospital. I love things like that. So when I saw the preview, because I'd watched the one from the week before, and I was like, okay, it was good. And then I was not going to watch the next one yet. Like I had it on DVR, and then I saw the preview, and I was like, you just took two of my favorite things that I never thought could be together, and you went there. And oh, it was my favorite last week.
And Mick was a zombie. I thought that was great. He's really been, like, really been on his game the last two episodes. Like, they give him some really great lines and some fun stuff to do.
Well, he completely grew on me the first week. Towards the end of the season, I was like, if they get rid of him, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah.
And then he's back, and I really like his character's evolving, and we're seeing, like, a softer, I mean, he's still Mick, right. But we're seeing, like, a softer side of him.
And he has such, like, little moments, even though they just might be just fleeting with all the characters. Like, even the way he just calls Ray haircut, you know.
I love that. He's like, come on, haircut.
Right. And then him and Vixen have, you know, a little thing going. Not a thing, but maybe. Maybe.
I have theories there.
But he just always, he seems to have just a little way with everybody. And Sarah, too. I love that about him.
They have a very brother-sister relationship, him and Sarah.
And Sarah is a golden goddess that she...
You know, I did not like her in Arrow. Like, not as much as I disliked Laurel.
Right.
But I didn't like her. I didn't like either one. I was like, can these Lance sisters just get off the TV? Like, that's truly how I felt about both of them in Arrow, which surprises a lot of people because they're like, don't you, come on, like, female empowerment. And I'm like, no. Like, I'll tell you when I need that. It's not right here. I just didn't care for either one of them, but I really, like, this is her place.
Yes.
This is her place to be her and to be liked as a character.
And to be the leader. I mean, she doesn't really hesitate. She knows what to do. She kicks so much ass in that the Feudal Japan episode.
Yes.
I mean, blew me away. That fight scene at the end.
Well, no, it's just a dramatized staged fight scene. Like, people sometimes don't understand that a lot of the guys on all these CW shows, they have said more than once that they don't really have stunt doubles. They prefer not to. They ask not to. And they train and learn these skill sets that you have to do. You have to have more of a skill set to make a fight look real and it not be than you almost do to actually just carry out
the fight.
Said fight.
Right.
So I think it's amazing, like, when you see her do something like that, you're like, what?
And even the new guy, Steel.
I like him.
I do, too.
I like him a lot.
I'm really impressed with everything that they're doing, really across all the shows, but Legends in particular, it's just so much fun. It never frustrates me, really, like parts of Arrow can do.
I've had frustrations with Arrows lately. I don't know. I'm gonna need that one to pick up or do something to really make me excited.
I watched tonight's episode and it was really good. Like, yeah, it was good. Which, I mean, most of the episodes have been good.
They're not bad. They're just kind of like we've said before. When one season is just not as awe-inspiring as maybe some others in the past. And in my personal, like, from my personal standpoint, Arrow was, before, it was always my favorite, hands down, no matter what. And this season and last season both, I'm kind of just like, eh.
Well, I know that was your favorite last time that we talked about it, you know, when we did the preview show. That was the one you were most...
It's always been my favorite, and in a lot of ways, it's still, because of season one to now, if you take season one to now, it is still my favorite, but I'm just saying, like, this current season, and the one before made me kind of,
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but some of those themes from season one are coming back, maybe to haunt Ollie a little bit. It was very interesting to see it tonight, and the way that they're taking it, it feels smart. It feels like what they need to do, because so many people wanted that season one, season two feel, and it does feel that way. And there's a little bit of a mystery at the end of the episode. I was like, what?
I am, I'm still enamored completely with Supergirl. Even, like, in this second, you know, installment being on CW.
Yeah.
That show in itself is still completely blowing me away. I feel like it's doing to me what Arrow did season one, season two, where it was like, yes, and I still got me. You're doing great. So I hope it stays along that path, too. I mean, and they're introducing, for fangirls like us, they're doing some great things. I mean,
yeah, they are.
Huh, very pleased with Mon-El.
Yeah, we are. Put him in a bow tie and glasses any day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when she sent him out and he was in, like, the bow tie get up, I was like, oh, yeah. And then she put glasses on him, and I was like, oh, boy. My ovaries just exploded.
And then he's so adorable.
He is, because he's like, well, I'm going to do it my way. Yeah. Well, where I'm from, when a woman wants to please you, and she's like, don't finish that. And I kind of wanted to be like, finish that.
Let him talk. Let him talk. What was the man going to say? But then, you know, he gets caught in the copy room.
Love how he's like, no, from the doctor shows I've watched, I can. It's completely possible. And I'm like, he just doesn't know. Because he is an alien, he fits in so well. It's almost like a kid that doesn't know, like, oh, I can't say that. Like, yeah. I need to filter that. Like, right. That's not how he...
And, you know, I felt how Kara was being a little annoying, you know? Like, I kind of felt for him, like, geez, just let the dude do what he's going to do. I mean, he's new here. Don't put all this crap on him.
But, I almost wonder, especially after the conversation which she has with her sister, when she's like, you know, I did it to you, too. So I almost wonder if that's what she thought she was supposed to do, because, you know, they are supposed to hide who they are, and they're not supposed to shout it from the rooftop. So I almost wonder if she was like, oh, you can't do that, can't do it. Especially with the way that people are reacting to the aliens currently in this season. So I wonder if she was like, kind of went mama bear, which shocks me, because I'm noticing some moments that I'm wondering, like, are these two gonna...
Yep.
So is she maybe just jealous? Like...
Maybe.
They have some interesting passing glances.
They do. And she's not really, maybe she's just not in a headspace to have a relationship. I don't know why they're...
Well, I don't know how you would possibly have time. I mean,
his full-time job as a writer, and
he just found the right person, I think.
Well, I just wonder if there's a reason why they're not giving her a love interest, or maybe they intended to with the whole James thing, and then it didn't really pan out the way they wanted to.
Maybe they're going to revisit the James situation.
Maybe so.
I don't know. I will say, you ship things, like, harder than I do, but I will ship relationships. Yeah, that's the same thing. I will, like, ship couples, and it doesn't necessarily, like, a guy and a guy, a girl and a girl. But I have to say, I feel like they're pushing really hard to get her sister and that cop together. I want it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, stop forcing it in our faces.
Why do you feel like it's forced?
Because it's the whole, like, they bring it, you notice how many times they brought it up? Like, she talks to Wynn, and he goes, oh, unless you like her. Mm-hmm. And then she goes to talk to her by herself, and she's like, oh, well, I didn't know that you were gay. Oh, I'm not. Right. Like, it's like, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to force a specific kind of relationship to maybe grab different viewers, and that bothers me. Hmm. Like, don't force it. Like, if they work well, great. If they don't, like, on Gotham, I thought they had one that was about to happen, and it didn't happen, and I was like, God! I felt like they didn't force it. Like, it was part of the actual storyline, and this I feel like is a separate story within the storyline.
Well, maybe I kind of felt like Alex kind of just had a sudden realization about it. You know, like, it wasn't forced. It was just like, oh, yeah. Like, it just dawned on her when she met Maggie that's what she's kind of been missing out on. And these were the reasons why she's had trouble, like she said in the episode, being intimate. She didn't like it. And then maybe just things started clicking with her, and it feels like it's forced, but it's really just sudden. I don't know.
No, I could. Okay, that's a great explanation, actually, because then that makes me look at it from a different version, like, viewpoint, you know. And I think that's, like, the whole point of two people discussing, or three or more people discussing an episode, because I may have felt the way I did, but hearing your point, it's like, okay, based on this conversation, and not only this episode, but others,
right,
that makes complete sense.
Because, you know, you could see it automatically in when they first met, you know, a little change in Alex. Like, it was very immediate to me, and I'd never seen her respond to anybody like that before.
I saw the change, but I guess I was looking at it a little bit differently in the fact that she's always been in the shadow. She's never really had friends of her own. They've always been like what Kara wanted to do and what Kara needed. So I thought maybe, because if you notice, she always hangs out with Kara's friends.
Right, that's true.
Not that they don't like her and they don't consider her a friend, but they always do things with Kara's friends. So I thought, okay, maybe Alex is a lot, you know, finally being able to have her own life.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, like, it didn't register in my brain that it was something more, because they always made it obvious, like, oh, no, I have a girlfriend. Oh, no, I have a girlfriend. Oh, my new girlfriend. So maybe they were setting me up to, like, explain to me that was going to be a relationship.
Right, right.
But I just saw it more as, like, yes, she finally has, like, friends that are hers.
Right.
They are her friends.
But even by the end of the episode, she still didn't really confess. You know, she was just like, you know, she got interrupted when she was trying to explain it to Kara, and then, you know, she didn't really pursue it any further after she talked to Maggie. It was just like, I'm going to go think about this for a little bit. So, you know, they're not really I feel like it's not rushed in her response to what she's realizing about herself.
I definitely want to see where it goes, and I do like the two of them together. It was
I
just for
too.
Some reason they, like, it hit, like, so quick in that episode that, like I said, to me, I was kind of like, why are you forcing this? Just let it naturally happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to have them together by episode 5. Like, just let it happen. I want to see her happy, you know.
The Flash always makes me happy.
Flash does always make me happy. I am having some, not reservations, but I guess because of the timeline change, I'm having some things that I'm trying to field or find out how I actually feel about it, because I'm not entirely sure. I don't know how I feel about Caitlin, because I don't want her to... I don't want her to go bad.
I really like what they're doing with her. I like you. They're doing a slow burn on her. On her powers, you know, nobody really knows about it, and, you know, they kind of snuck her mom in that episode, too.
Yeah, which was really odd, because I was like, have we ever heard about her father before?
No.
I didn't think so. I was like, is this something that I'm just forgetting that... Okay. And I just went with it.
Yeah.
But, no, she's one of those that I feel like, can she catch a break? Like...
Yeah. Well, I feel that way about everybody on The Flash.
Like, can she just catch a break? I don't know. I like that she has powers now, because this means, like, as a whole, they all have them. From the preview that I saw of, because there wasn't one this week because of the election.
Mm-hmm.
So for the preview I saw next week, it looks like everyone may. I know, and I was really sad when he came back to this timeline and corrected it, and Wally didn't have speed. So I'm hoping that that means everyone has them now. But at the same time, like I said, I guess my scare is that she'll go bad, and I don't want her to go bad. Like, she's what makes, she's like, the group isn't the group without her.
Yeah.
Or Cisco, or, you know, I don't know. I just don't want her to go bad.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I wonder what it would take, though.
Well, I mean, she got pretty pissed off and started, you know, because her mom said, and she didn't even get to finish the message because she got so angry. But she was like, "What? No matter, you know, don't use your powers." And then she gets mad and her eyes do that funky thing. And she's like, "Oh, crap, what did I just do?" So I hope that's not like an an ominous thing that they're like, oh.
What about all the Wills from all of the other Earths?
There were some. I was like, oh, yeah, bring them.
That was awesome.
Which
I was dying.
The steampunk one?
Yes.
Oh, my God, the steampunk guy.
I
wanted them to bring him.
I lost it at Mime. Mime Wills.
Oh, yeah. how do you feel about, what are we calling him, HR?
Yeah, I think that's what they're calling him.
So, which was if you didn't catch it, you've been living under a rock, a play, you know, HR, HG.
HG Wills.
I got it and was like, ah!
You know, he was real weird. You know, he would try to make it seem like their ideas were his ideas, and he was going, I don't know, I was like, what is up with this guy? And then they kind of made you think he was being a villain there for a minute, and then, oh no, but he's not a villain.
But do we still think that he's not a villain? Like, do we think there's still something he's hiding?
I
because of all the other Wells, I feel like there's something he's still hiding.
Maybe so. I just, anything with him and Cisco together is always great. I love them.
I'm gonna miss the Earth 2 Wells, though.
Yeah, I will.
I thought we were gonna get to, like, I thought we were gonna get to see both of them, like, interacting together kind of thing. I was very just kind of, you know.
And then Julian, you know, finally kind of opened up to Barry a little bit.
Yes.
That was good to see, you know. I really like his character when he's being a dick, but it was a nice moment for them.
It was. But I don't remember, because we, like, researched and talked about this, you know, in our CW episode. Is it confirmed Julian is something more?
I don't think it's confirmed.
Okay.
Like, you mean alchemy? Do you think it's alchemy?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out, if, like, Julian was alchemy.
I think that might be a little obvious, but...
Yeah, but we've done obvious things before.
That's true.
So I'm just, I don't know, it was just my, like, did they say that or did they not? Like, I can't remember.
I don't think they said that.
I don't know, I just, the way he acts, I mean, he explained some of it, you know, he finally was like, oh, this is the reason why. But at the same time, I just feel like there's something more underlying, there's something more there that I need. Kind of like when Wells, you know, in the seasons before, when we were both like, there's something there. Like, I feel that way this time again. Like, I'm feeling it again with Julian.
It's a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
And I'm really looking forward, I think it's probably coming up soon. Maybe before the break, the Kevin Smith episode. Because I feel like they give Kevin Smith a lot to do in an episode.
Well, he just does a phenomenal job. Like, this is something Kevin Smith knows.
Yes.
And he knows well, and he can probably out-lore or out-explain lore to most anyone in our culture, because he is just that knowledgeable about these characters and these comics and these backstories and just everything. So I'm very excited to see his episode because I know that he'll do it with complete justice.
I think so too. And I love that they have him do an episode of Supergirl this season too.
Yeah. I foresee Kevin being maybe a more permanent and having him do a little bit more.
That would be awesome.
He's done, has he not done an episode before?
He did The Flash.
He did,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
They need to get him on Arrow and Legends.
Mm-hmm. And just like bring it all out.
Yeah, just rock it all out. What else are we watching? I actually caught up on a ton of stuff, so we don't have time to talk about everything that I've been watching.
See, I've caught up on pretty much most CW shows except for Supernatural. I have two episodes of that. I'm caught up on a couple of shows you don't watch. No Tomorrow, by the way, is still going very well, guys. I definitely say if you haven't tried it, you need to.
All right. I started watching The Crown on Netflix.
I want to watch that. I have not read anything negative about that whatsoever. So I do have it on my list to be watched. But between the things I need to catch up on and wanting to redo all Gilmore, it's just not happening yet.
Yeah. All of Gilmore is quite a thing to get through, too.
It is, but it's great.
What about reading? What are you reading?
So, this is probably one of the first episodes where I have multiple comics to name.
Woo-woo.
I know, right? One is actually not a new comic. It's one that I picked up, number one, from like Second Charles for a dollar a couple of summers ago when my nephew was here visiting. It's called Nightmare. And I recently was on Comixology because I got like a couple of months of the subscription for free in exchange for I have to like write little reviews here and there for a different company. So I was like, yeah, I'll take a couple free months of Comixology to, you know, reread some of these old ones, or not reread, but read them for the first time. And they had Nightmare on there, which I hadn't got to finish. Like I said, I'd only read the first book. It's very twisted, kind of dark. Mary, obviously the main character, she's a teenager. She's like 17. And her father has trained her to be a lucid dreamer. And he runs a sleep disorder clinic where he has her enter these disturbed people's dreams in an attempt to help them.
Hmm.
And the problem is there's been a couple of people that she's trying to help them with their dream, and something goes drastically horrible. And she actually ends up in the dream of a serial killer. And so her real life and her dream life kind of come together. And visually, the graphic, you know, they did an amazing job. There's a part where someone may get a piece of their arm bitten off.
Sweet.
And it's kind of, it's done very well. It's not like so visually overdone realistic that you're like, can't handle that. And it is very much, with it being like that whole dream realm, it's drawn like, I don't know, it's just very different. And I really enjoyed this book. And one of the author, illustrator, because I think they shared works, the two people that did it, Rick Remender.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually done a lot of stuff that other people are going to know him for. He's done some Captain America,
mm-hmm.
done a lot of Punisher. And they tell the story very well. It did leave me like thinking that maybe there was more books. There's not. But
is it a Marvel book?
It was IDW.
Oh, okay.
In 2006. So that was kind of neat to finally finish that, and it's very intriguing. Ha! I made a new word again. It's It's kind of very intriguing because I feel like dreams tell a story on their own. And a lot of people, you know, firmly believe in like, oh crap, I just dreamed about this, this, and this. I wonder how it ties. And so watching her actually play into the dream world and be in these people's dreams where she can interact with them, and she's very interesting.
I like that idea. Well done. I might have to borrow that from you.
I would I would totally recommend it. It's not, I mean, putting it all together like that in one, you know, graphic edition, combined edition, it's only like 120 pages, if that. So it was great. I liked it a lot.
What else you been reading?
So I don't want to hear any jokes. I have a comic that I picked up in my pull list. I decided to add it because Kaden and I watch a cartoon on Disney called Star Wars: The Force of the Evil.
Oh yeah,
and I love that. It's just a cute little like adult kid kind of doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So just a great kind of show, kind of funny. Has things in it that sometimes go over kids' heads, not in a really bad way. And they did a Star versus the Forces of Evil Sinistory comic. And they're thrown, they have to help her friend who's by the way, her friend is Ponyhead. And that's literally what she is. She's just the head of a unicorn princess pony. So, and Star is, they never really say she's an alien. She's from another place, from another dimension. And she's living on Earth with a family. And so it's like the adventures of her and this kid, you know, that she lives with his family. And so they have to go save Ponyhead. She's being blamed for something in an under, it's like Atlantis, basically. I don't know. I really enjoyed that comic. I was trying to find where I had added it to my red list on Goodreads so I could tell you guys who the illustrators were, because it's probably the same illustrators as the show because it looks identical. But it was just great. And I think it was only like $2.99, so it wasn't even, you know, like inexpensive like some of them have been lately.
I think that's cool that you can pick up something like that and, you know, you can read it and your kid can read it and you both can enjoy it.
And you don't have to have, honestly, you wouldn't have ever had to have seen this show at all to pick it up and check it out. It's just really, I mean, if you want to watch the show, it's really cool. It's just illustration by Walt Disney Company. So obviously it is by the people that have done the show. And the author is Darren Nefcy, which when you click on his name, it looks like it's the only book that he may have been the author on. But Star, her name is Star Butterfly. And like I said, her buddy Marco, he's just from here on Earth. So it's pretty funny.
That's cool. What else you got?
One of the things I had to review, there's this company I got in with a few years ago, and they're called NetGalley. What they do is they introduce stories, either books, graphic novels, kids' books, all kinds of things, like the day that they're released or before their release. And the whole point of this is to get reviews out there before it comes out. So people will be like, oh, then that's, you know, why would I want to buy this brand new book? Oh, that's why I want to buy this brand new book. So I actually got given, it's a graphic novel of a Charlene Harris series, which I've actually told you guys about before. It's one of my favorite series, the Harper Connelly, where she was struck by lightning. And because when she was struck by lightning as a kid, now she has these powers and she can literally locate the dead. Not like a psychic, but she can actually tell you they're over there. This is how they died. This is how old they were. I can kind of see what happened, but she can't. She's not a psychic. And so they gave me this book. It's book two, which is Grave Surprise, but it's set in graphic. It's a graphic novel, basically, is what they've done. And I posted my review tonight, And I'll have to say, obviously, I totally love the books. I wouldn't have talked about them like 5 times now with you guys. And we're only on episode 5, so, you know, that's saying something. I was slightly disappointed.
Oh.
And let me briefly explain, because I know we both have, like, a lot of books that we read this time. The reason I say that is because, with it being a series that I love so much, I had set this world, built this world in my head, and built the characters in my head. And you and I have talked about this before. Sometimes you build characters in your head regardless of how the author has described them physically, because of the tone they set and how they speak and how they carry themselves within the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this world built in my head, and I had these characters built in my head, and that's not what came out when the person that did the graphic novel did. Like, that's just not what came out for me. So I gave it a rating of 3 out of 5. It means I liked it. I didn't really like it, and I didn't find it amazing. I guess you could say I really liked it because I really liked the story, but it just, between me looking at these people going, that's not you. Like, I guess kind of like when they turn a book into a movie and you're looking at the main character going, no. That's just how I felt. Like, it didn't, some of the characters that are main characters just kind of felt done incorrectly. And then there's a few parts of the book that are stories within the book, like the way characters interact with each other or overall, like, tone, I thought was kind of different than what I got when I read the book itself. So
it's funny that you mentioned that, because one of my books I kind of had the same issue with. But was that all that you had to talk about before I mentioned it?
Oh, no, that's totally okay if you want to go ahead and mention it, because it kind of, like, goes straight into your book. I think the only other thing I really read is, I've been trying to, you know, as I told you guys before, trying to finish up this goal of mine to finish so many books before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I did read one of the books, another book by Charlene Harris that we talked about is going to be a show, Midnight Texas.
Right, right.
So I did finish one of those, and it's not my favorite of all her series, because it's a new series. This is the one that's a spinoff from the HarperCollins.
Right.
But she did really good, and, you know, I told you guys I had actually never read the Sookies. Like, I tried to do the first one and I was like, oh, I just can't get through this. I'm actually about to finish the first Sookie. So I was like, if I love her this much, I need to get through this book. I think if I just get through the first book, that's exactly what happened. After I got through, like, the first 5 chapters, I was like, oh, I love this. So I'm reading a whole lot of Charlene Harris.
Well, that's awesome.
And choking. So what book did you pick up that, when I told you my problem with Grave Surprise, had you feeling kind of the same way?
Well, it's kind of similar to how I felt about the Battlestar Galactica, Gods and Monsters.
Oh, yeah, you were really excited about that.
Yeah, I love BSG, but... And this was not bad. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. Maybe I thought we were going to do maybe a continuation of the TV show. Or this is set kind of like in the middle of the TV show. And it's kind of like a side story.
Well, that's kind of confusing.
Yeah. And then the... I would, maybe naively, I assumed that the characters in the book would be drawn to look like the actors who play the roles in the show, therefore easily identifiable to people who are fans of Battlestar, to pick up the book and go, that's that character, that's that character, but that they don't look like the actors. Which, I mean, I guess that makes sense, but...
It does and it doesn't to me, because, I mean, look at some of the other comics that, like Arrow and Flash, they have a comic now that takes place in between the seasons, mm-hmm. and the illustrators draw them to look like Stephen Amell and Grant Gustin.
See, to me, that makes sense. But this, you don't recognize the characters until, you know, you're in the dialogue, and to me, it just throws me off, because... I fell in love with the characters in the way that they were on TV. So, and it's not bad. It's just, if I'm going to scratch a Battlestar itch, it's going to be watching the episodes. It's not going to be with this comic book. It's just kind of how I feel about it. I don't think that there's anything... that they do in this book that is not done way better on TV. So, that's how I felt about that. You know, it's kind of like you said, that world building. You know, you have it in your head a certain way, and then you're like, this just doesn't look right. And I can't really get past it. And on a better note, I went to... Ethan and I went to Fanatics for their Halloween Comic Fest, mm-hmm. when they were giving out some free comics. And I picked up a couple of things, one of them being The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number one.
I picked it up too. I have not read it yet, though.
It is so fun. It's from Marvel, of course, and I swear I've never had so much fun reading a comic book. It's a choose your own adventure. Yeah. So it starts out with like Galactus. Well, actually it starts out hilariously with Squirrel Girl. It looks kind of like a Twitter feed or a Facebook page or something, where she's interacting with Tony Stark and, some other Howard the Duck, and, and there's this hilarious bit where he's kind of teasing her about time travel, which I don't know her any of her story, so I assume that's part of her story. But anyway, she says, did Iron Man just Iron Mansplain time travel to me? And it cracked me up, and he's like, oh, please don't let hashtag Iron Mansplaining be a thing. But that same humor is just all throughout the book, and it just does all this crazy stuff. You know, you can go fight this villain, and it gives you arrows to follow to go to the next panel if you're going to choose that adventure. But if you're going to fight the other villain, you choose the other arrows, and it just has you flipping all over the page or all over the place. And so you can read it several different times and have different experiences with the same story. It was just so much fun. I was cracking up laughing when I was reading it. Ethan was like, what are you laughing at? But I doubt all of her books are like this. I hope not. But really,
I hope so, because then it would make sense when everybody was like, Anna Kendrick needs to play her. Like, you know, if that's how all of her books are, then...
Yeah. I know that our friend James is a huge fan of Squirrel Girl, so maybe he can lend me some of her books to read. Of course, it's probably on Marvel Unlimited, whatever it's called.
Which I don't have yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a thing where you can, like, buy a whole year for, like, yeah. $60, yeah. And I'm like, maybe I should just do that.
I just can't get into digital comics yet, but...
The thing that frustrates me with digital comics, and like I said, that time I read Nightmare, is that it gives me like one pane, not like a whole. It gives me like one little. I'm like, can you give me the whole page and I can zoom in on it if I need to?
See, that's, I'm the opposite, because if I, like, I tried to read some Green Arrow digitally and I was like, no, because it's just, maybe I need a bigger screen. I don't know, but I'm like, this is just too much
on my iPad. Yeah. Like, I tried to do it on my iPhone and I was like, oh,
no. But the other free comic that I picked up during Comic Fest was Darth Vader, number one, Dr. Alfra, I think is how
I
you
did
say
not get
name.
That one.
Oh, it's good. It's Kieran Gillen, and the artist is Salvador LaRocca, I think is how you say that. Oh, it's so pretty. It is really, really, really pretty. Like, to the point where I would get distracted.
Looking at like the visual, like,
yeah,
visually,
like,
enjoying,
like,
it.
Oh yeah, I didn't read anything on that page because I was looking at it and it was gorgeous. But she is a very interesting character right from the beginning, because she, you don't really know, is she a good guy? Is she a bad guy? Because I don't know. I mean, I've heard really good things about the Star Wars runs and the Darth Vader runs, but I've never read any of them. They are on my list to be read now because I want to know more.
I have the Princess Leia, and I had Princess Leia on my pull list, but that's the only ones I've really done.
But Darth Vader, I think it's set after the destruction of the Death Star. And
okay.
So, Vader has kind of been demoted a little bit, and...
Well, I would say!
And so he's kind of having trouble at work. He's having trouble at work with the Sith Lord, and then he's also, you know, wondering, who is this four-strong pilot who destroyed the Death Star, and, you know... He has his own agenda, so that's how he seeks her out, because what she does is she gets this technology. She's kind of like a tech Indiana Jones a little bit.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think she calls herself a rogue archaeologist at one point.
Oh, that's cool.
And but he comes to seek her out, and she's kind of in awe of him. Like, she really is kind of digging on him. And she's a little bit funny. And actually, he's kind of not funny, but he has a way of saying things.
Like a Mick funny? In
not,
Legend?
Not
like-
even more subtle than that. Like, she asked him in this one page, it says, how did you find me anyway? And then there's just like a whole page of panels of him killing people with the Force, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then he's just like deadpan, just like, it's just his face, like, he's not saying anything. And she's like, actually, I don't want to know, do I? It's just kind of little things like that. And she it was her response to him that made her a little bit quirky. She says, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm like, who says that? The Darth Vader? That's weird.
She does, apparently.
And he tells her that she's overly fond of speaking, which is kind of funny coming from Darth Vader.
Oh, that is. Sorry, it took me a second because I just stopped. And, like, in Darth Vader voice, like, was seeing him in my brain say that to somebody.
So. Yeah. But, yeah, I really liked this a lot, and I really want to read more about her.
I'm going to have to get that now.
Yes, you should. Okay, so I know that I'm probably different from some of our other friends who are reading Batman. They're reading other Batman stories, and I'm still on the main Batman story, Tom King Batman. And so they started a new story arc with Bane in it. And it's so good. I love it so much. Oh my gosh. I freaked out when I read Batman number 10. It's so gorgeous. It has a... I don't exactly know how to pronounce his name. A Spanish author. Mikael Conning. I don't know. Anyway, it's spelled weird, so I don't know. Oh my gosh, he draws the crap out of this. I think it's one of the... I did the panel of the week on Instagram, mm-hmm. and it was one of his. And
okay.
And really, I wanted to take a picture of every page of this book and post it. That's how much I love the art on this book. It is just amazing. And Batman, he's just the master. You think that he is beaten, and then you realize that he is exactly where he planned to be all along. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the next issue of this. And I want this guy to draw this book all the time.
Well, maybe he will. Maybe he'll be a regular illustrator on that book.
Oh my gosh. I've kind of come to call this feeling comics high. I don't know if that's a thing that anybody's ever said before.
I think it is a thing because you get your new books and you just have to go home and read them.
Yes.
And then you find one that, like, and mine was the Disney, but it's okay.
Right.
But you find it and you're like, I need more of this.
Yes, I was completely freaking out about this, and I'm like, I can't shut up. Like, I'm showing it to people who don't give two craps about it. I'm just like, look at this. Look at it. It's awesome. And they're just like, pat me on my head. It's okay, Jenny.
I get that a lot.
Don't we? It's not
part of. It's just part of being a fangirl and finding something that you were like, want to share it with the world.
Yes.
That's all it is.
I have a ton of books, so I'm not going to like go through all of them like I have, but Wonder Woman number 9. I just love this book. It's so pretty. Diana's actually in some street clothes at one point. I don't know why that just struck me, but it did. She was having a real intimate conversation with Steve on the beach, and it's like a sunset scene. This is Liam Sharp drawing it. And, of course, Greg Rucker writing. But it's just gorgeous. There's this beautiful page of them kissing. And then a sunset in the background with their shadows. I don't know. It's just gorgeous. You really need to read this.
Okay.
It is so good. And, of course, Green Lanterns, number 10. The Phantom Ring, I think I mentioned it last time we talked. The Phantom Ring being a ring that anybody can pick up and wear. And
okay,
it's powerful. And it doesn't have to choose you, so...
Oh, yeah, you did talk about that. Because I told you I really kind of like the concept of that. Like, it's not... Oh, you must be such and such to wield this power. Like, it's not where they're going.
Right, and the kind of bad guy that they've set up is somebody who you kind of sympathize with. He has been obsessed with the Green Lanterns, and he thought he was going to be worthy of a ring, and the ring chose somebody else. So he's just really pined away to have this power, and has made it his life's goal. And finally, he has gotten to the point where another character is using him to get the ring, and using his desire to further his own agenda. So it's really shaping up to be really good. Still more great stuff with Jessica and Simon. They're you know, they have been really close lately, and they each have different they each have maybe of their own motivations to maybe be a little bit attracted to the Phantom Ring themselves. Especially Jessica, I think. And there's a really nice panel in here that I wanted to mention. She saves a little girl from a fire, a house fire, and find it so I can say exactly. But the little girl says something to the effect of, like, I didn't know girls could be Green Lanterns. I'm trying to find it. She said, I didn't know a girl could be a Green Lantern. That means I can be a Green Lantern, too. And Jessica really needed to hear something like that because she felt like she was really bad at it. And I can definitely relate to that.
I like that. I like that they're showing, stronger female role models in a lot of the comics and making them prominent. Just, it's a great thing.
And not just... I think she's strong in a lot of different ways and maybe unconventional ways. I read Trinity number 2, which I really did love, and there was a surprise kind of ending at the end of that one that is still got me hooked on that. I like that book a lot. What else? I got caught up on Nightwing number 7 and number 8. And I don't know if for some reason Nightwing if it gets put to the bottom of my pile for some reason. And I don't know, because when I read these tonight I was like, "Oh my god, I love these books. Why do I not read these first?" He had some really good stuff. I don't want to go all into it, but if you like Nightwing, you need to be reading that book. Green Arrow number 10, still good. Flash number 9. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 7, and then Superman number 10, which is the meeting of John Kent and Damian Wayne, which was fun because Damian's a little shit and I love it. He entertains me endlessly. So I will definitely be reading their book Super Sons when it comes out. And I think that's it.
Is that it?
That is enough, I'm sure.
Oh, well, not necessarily. I mean,
are you awake over there?
I am. My throat is doing like really funny things. It's like I want to talk and comment, but I'm like, I start to, and it doesn't even crack. It's like I opened my mouth to interject when you were talking about that last book, and I went to say something that I've totally forgot what I was going to say now, and I opened my mouth, and all that came out was. I'm like, okay. And then you asked me if I was awake, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm here. And I'm back. She is not dead.
All right, well, I think that wraps us up on this. We've been talking about it for a while. Do you want to tell everybody who they're going to meet when we come back from the break?
Yeah, I have an author friend. I consider her a friend now. That I stumbled upon 2 years ago, which I'll tell you guys a story of how I stumbled upon her when we came back and we'll come back and introduce her. But her name is Barbara Anino, and she's fantastic. And I've got Jenny reading her now. One of our other friends, Robert, I've got Robert and his wife Tiffany. They've been reading her. So she's just an amazing author that I hope you guys enjoy the interview that we're about to have with her, and maybe you'll become a reader of hers as well. And I would be glad to share. I'd be like, here's her works. Would you like to read it? Please tell me what you think.
Tell me some of the books that she writes.
Well, she has a couple of different series. Let me pull up her little thing real quick, and I will read them all to you. She's going to probably mention several. The biggest one for me, which is how I met her, was the Stacey Justice series, which I think is what you've read number one in. Is that
right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So she has the Stacey Justice series, which I believe is on number six now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's six, and then there's two like novellas and a recipe book as well. And then there's the Ever After trilogy, which has two books out, and the Goddess series, which there's more books coming, but there's only one of those right now. And then she has other little books where they were like short stories, or she was asked to write a story for like an anthology or something like that. So she has more works than, like, if you go to her website and you just see her three actual different series, you'd be like, oh, okay. But she actually has a lot more that she's done. And sometimes she'll even just write little short real life, because she's an author, her things that happened in real life are just extremely interesting when she writes about them in Facebook as well. So,
all right. Well, just stay tuned after the break, and we'll be talking to Barbara. Stick around.
Yay, come back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And, of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place of Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby.
Welcome back to Geek and Sassy. I'm joined again with Miranda, my beautiful
Hi, guys.
Friend. And we also have a special guest again this week. Miranda, do you want to tell us who we're talking to?
Sure, I do. I, a couple years ago, decided to join, I think it was the Kindle Unlimited, and I found this narrator actually on Audible that I was like, I really like her. Let me see what else she happens to narrate. And that's how I found our lovely guest today, Barbara Anino. She also goes by Barb. She likes either guys. And I found her Stacey Justice series because of the narrator. And after reading it, I immediately had like things to say. So I went on Facebook and was like, wonder if this lady will be my friend. So 2 years later, I have read all of her works and she's here to join us. And I was trying to find my favorite bio to kind of introduce you guys to Barb, because I feel like I know her, but I want you guys to know her. What I can tell you is she is very interactive with her fans. She is an amazing author. Several series. There's The Secret Goddess. There's the new one, which is one of my new favorites. And I'm just going brain dead because my throat is hurting. Sorry, guys. I told you I might do this. But it's The Bitches of the Ever After. Yes.
Yeah, the Ever After trilogy. Yep.
Yeah, I love that one so much. And then, of course, Stacey Justice, which is where I got my start. She's a huge animal lover. She rescues and adopts Great Danes, who are the most precious things that I've ever seen. And she writes some fantastic little stories about them in our Facebook group that she runs for all of us that are fans of hers. So, welcome, Barbara. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the stuff that you've done. And, you know, we have a couple of questions, but, you know, just feel free to go off on a tangent if you want to. That's fine with us. We're good with that.
Okay. Is there anything I forgot that you'd really like our listeners to know? I mean, I know you've written other works that are inside, like compilation books.
I would just like your listeners to know that the Cubs won the World Series this year. I'm very happy about that.
Part of the reason why I'm sick, I woke up the day after the World Series and was like, I can't talk. And it actually stayed with me. Like, I was legitimately sick. But it was great. Yes. It's the best thing ever.
All right. Let's see. How are we starting? Are you starting or am I starting with the question?
Whatever you want to know.
All right.
See, I told you, Barbara. I told you we were like, sometimes.
That's cool.
All right. I'll just ask the first one then. How did publishing your first book, did it change your writing process, or have you kept it pretty much the same?
You mean, I'm not sure I understand the question. So from book one to where I'm at now?
Right, yeah.
Well, I think you learn more with every story that you write, with every word that you write. I think you learn a little bit more, not only as an author, but also as the creator of the worlds that you're writing in. So I know a lot more about Stacey from my Stacey Justice series than I did in book one. And, you know, you just kind of learn what works and what doesn't, and then you get more confident, I would have to say. So I'm pretty confident now in what I create. I used to have a lot more critique partners and beta readers and things like that, and I find now that I just pretty much, my husband reads the first draft and maybe a friend or two, but other than that, I find that less hands in the pot is better for the story and more true to my characters. So, yeah, you learn more with every book, and I'm 20 years from now, God willing, I will hopefully learn even more, so.
Okay, that's cool. Let's see.
I'm trying to think of where I want to go, because I had some questions here that I'm like, I could ask that one, flip-flop it based on her answer, or I guess one of the biggest questions I had, your writing process, you know, since we just kind of touched on that, does it energize you or exhaust you or both?
That's a really interesting question. The best way, you know, when I first started out, the one thing that always energized me was going to conferences and talking to other writers, especially writers who had a lot more experience and more success than I did. And I'm always very excited by the start of a project, always. But by the end, yes, it's very exhausting. And it just depends on the day. If I'm writing something like a very emotional scene, a lot of my books are humor filled and funny, but you know, there's also emotion in there as well. And I'm very invested in these characters. So if it's an emotional type of scene where somebody gets hurt or dies or, you know, something crazy happens where the character's going through some sort of tragedy herself or loss, then I feel that. So that's exhausting. And you know, there are days where I just want to push myself, and I'm very comfortable writing a certain amount, but if I get towards the end or if I have a deadline, I push myself even more, and those days are very exhausting. I can tell when I've written too much. My hands hurt and my wrist hurts and my mind is just completely gone. And I have no more words. Like, I just sit and stare at the wall and don't talk to me. I used up all my words today. So, but yeah, but other than, you know, it really just depends on the day.
I that totally makes sense to me. you pour so much of yourself into it, and totally makes sense that if there was something crazy going on, that you would feel that, in your everyday. I think that's interesting.
And if I'm writing something a little funny, I mean, I laugh out loud. I'll write something and go, oh, you know, I'll just make myself giggle. So,
that's
the enjoyable part, too.
You have made me laugh more than once. You actually created a couple of my new favorite words.
Like what?
Oh, what's the... It was from the Stacey. Oh, goodness.
That fuck it.
Yes, nut fuck it. I was like, I'm gonna use that one.
Yeah, that series is sort of PG-13, so younger people can, you know, younger kids can read it and stuff, but there's not a lot of swearing or there's not sex or swearing or anything like that. So she makes up her own words. It's just not her personality. Very, very different from the fairy tale character series.
Oh yes. Which those ladies are great too. They're like their own kind of great that I don't even know how to describe.
Do you find yourself, do you think you're more like one character than the other? Or are you a mashup? Or does some of the things, like the words and stuff, does that come up, you know, stuff that you use in your life?
The words I make up, absolutely not. I don't use. I swear like a sailor. But I get asked that question a lot. It's very interesting. I have a lot of people think that Stacey is me, and that's very far from it. I'm a little bit more like the character Cinnamon, which is her cousin.
Oh, yes.
A little bit more of a temper, a little bit less patience. Stacey's sort of an ideal who I try to be or who I'd like to be, but I'd say that's the characters probably... Of any character that I've written, even short stories, I think Cinnamon's probably the closest. And she's a bartender, and I've bartended many years, so I kind of relate to her.
I see that relation very much, but as someone who's read all of your works and interacted with you several times on Facebook, obviously, I am one of those that I'm like, huh, like I see touches when I'm reading the Stacey books now. I see touches of you in her, and I know what you're saying about Cinnamon. I see that now too, that you've said it, but I really have this whole time. I've been like, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh really? That's interesting.
I did. I really did.
So what kind of research do you do, and how long do you spend on it before you start a new project or continue your project?
Again, that really depends on the project. So, like, the fairy tale series, the Ever After series, I did very little research because it's based on characters that we've all grown up with. I did read some of the Grimm original stories and how they were originally written. But other than that, that's pretty much all I did for that. Everything else is completely made up in that world. The Stacy series, I've been studying witches and witchcraft and Wicca and paganism since I was in college. So that's always something that's fascinated me. And I kind of have that knowledge base. So I don't really research before I start her stories. Mm-hmm. But I research as I go. So if she's casting a spell or something, I'll pull out one of my crystal books to see what stones would be best used, you know, just to double check. I'll just trying to see what I have in my arsenal, or I'll look, you know, through maybe an astrology book here and there. So I sort of have, if I'm writing a Stacy series, I sort of have all that laid out right next to me when I'm working. So I don't do pre-research, but the goddess book, I did a lot of research on that because it's based on the Greek pantheon, and the main character is one of the Furies, and I really knew very, very little about them. In fact, I can't even remember what made me choose her. I think it was during the research, because it was going to originally be the Three Graces were originally going to be the main characters, and they actually ended up being very minor. That is my puppy. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. He gets pissed off at his own tail once in a while. So I had listened to several audiobooks. I bought several Greek mythology books, and even I bought this chart so I could have it on my wall and I can study like who's related to who. And so that took, I probably spent like 3 weeks on the research for that one. It's probably the longest I spent on actual research.
I feel like research on that one paid off. It was a very good book. It was kind of between the Stacy books that I read that one, and I really liked it. I would say that one's not so much maybe for kids, because there were moments where I was like, whoa, he did what?
No, that is not for children. That is a dark thriller that I know.
But it was done very well, and it wasn't one of those like that's too dark or not dark enough. And I understand what you're saying, like with the Greek mythology, the understanding who is related to who and son of this but not daughter of this, it's so very confusing.
Who killed who? And
I know.
And that book was the first book I wrote with from the villain's point of view. The chapters alternate between the villains, and there's actually I shouldn't give it away, but there's more than one bad guy. So that's the first time I ever wrote from the, and it was creepy. Those days were exhausting. And I also did a little bit more research on that as well, based on who the villain ends up being. I did some research on that, and what else was it? And then there is a scene in there. A story came across my Yahoo feed as I was writing that book, and now I'm not going to remember the name of it, but it was some sort of cave they uncovered in Turkey, and I believe they called it like Hades Gate. And it was like filled with these poisonous gases that anything that went near it would just die. So I thought, so I sort of actually added that into the plot of that book.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I have to look that up now.
I think it was Turkey. And I actually have the notes, I think, in the back of the story. I think it was called Hades Gate. If you look it up, then you should... I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. But so, yeah, that was a really fascinating story. I'm like, I have to put that in there.
Does that happen a lot, or is that kind of rare that something would just strike you and make you want to put it in the book?
You know, that actually does happen with the Stacy books as well. sometimes I don't really know what the plot's going to revolve around. And, for example, there's a very unique Irish text, very rare old ancient text called the Book of Ballymoat. And I happened upon that as well. That was a story that I read just online. And that was actually something that I researched a little bit further. And also the Irish language, Ogham. I came across that as well, just sort of, I was looking up some more surnames in the history of where certain names came from in certain parts of the country, of Ireland. And that's how I sort of stumbled across those. So yeah, that does happen a lot. And that's really fun. Because I really like throwing true historical tidbits into the fiction world that I write. So that's something that, and plus I really like researching. So when I use something real, it's a little bit more exciting for me. And I think for the reader, especially if they've heard of that, and sometimes I put notes in the back of the book that explains it. So yeah.
I think that gives it a richer story. You know, it kind of make it seem like something that, you know, could actually happen.
right.
Well, that's like one of the things that the girls posted in the group the other day about the Cubs that you had put in the book. And I love when you do things like that. You reference things that I know, and I'm like, yes, that's Chicago.
About the Cubs.
Yes, that was great, where it's like people around here still think the Cubs are going to win the World Series. I was like, and we did! And I just love when you...
I had to eat those words, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, that reminds me. I guess the longest research I did do was for the fourth Stacey book, Emerald Isle. I went to Ireland and researched every place I wanted to write about. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I highly recommend it.
That is definitely something that is on my bucket list, is to go to Ireland.
For sure.
I really loved it. It was so much fun. People are very, very friendly.
Oh, I've heard that, and it just makes me want to go more. Well, in all the writing and the research that you do, is there like a kryptonite moment? Like, is there something that's just like it hits you and you're like, no, that's it. I'm done right now.
What do you mean?
Like, everybody has like that kryptonite in their life, whether they're a writer or just a mom or whatever they are. Like, what is it for you that like kind of stopped you?
That makes me not want to work?
I guess, yeah.
Or be like, I'm just done for the day. You know, like I'm just out of words or out of ideas.
Oh, okay. Well, I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, I often write myself into a corner because I do not plot. I don't prepare my book. I start with a sentence. I might have some ideas and I talk them over with George. And I jot some ideas down. But it is usually if I have the first line, I can go. And I often write myself into a corner. I have no idea who these people are when I start writing them. And it's interesting because so many people have asked me how I planned that whole series out to fit all the books together. Well, I didn't.
Huh.
Things revealed themselves to me as I was working. It's sort of supernatural that way. It's interesting how the layers just come and that's, you know, I tell their story, basically. So yes, when I write myself into a corner and I'm stuck, and I refuse to throw anything away, so I make myself figure it out and write my way out of that corner. So some on those days when I'm really stuck, then yeah. You know, it's like, okay, time to be done for the day, have a glass of wine, figure it out, you know, or go for a walk or take a shower, you know. So yeah, that does give me pop. It's not for very long, but
I think that's fascinating that that's how you work. I don't know. I don't know why I'm surprised by it, but I think it's, like you said, a little bit supernatural. It's kind of amazing to think about it.
Well, you know, I don't know who said this. It could have been Stephen King or some. I know it was a pretty well-known author, and I think it was a modern-day author, but I read something like, don't let yourself get in the way of your character stories. And I think that's I think that's, you know, some of the best advice I've ever received. So, you know, they have to find their, they have to tell their own stories. You have to tell them in their voice. Like, if you read my books, you'll notice that every character has their own voice. Everybody's, they don't all sound the same, right. You know? So I can literally, it's like a movie in my head as I'm working. And they keep me up at night sometimes, but, which is a good thing. Unless somebody's trying to push themselves in front of the other. So, if, like, I'm working on a Stacy book, sometimes the bitches will start talking to me, and I'm like, no, 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 ladies, you're on deck.
Do you jot that down? Like, if something comes to you, do you jot it down and put it away for when it's time for them, or do you just let it go?
Yeah, usually I do. Unless they're just like talk, like if it's just dialogue, sometimes I don't, unless I really think it's a, you know, a good line or something. But yeah, usually I'll just jot it down and put that away for safekeeping and get back to that later. And it, you know, half the time it doesn't even end up in the story, but.
I'm interested to see what you say about this, but, what do you think is the most difficult thing about writing characters of the opposite sex?
You know, I really don't find it difficult, to be honest with you. And I guess that's kind of a weak answer, but I'm an only child, so it should be difficult for me, but I spent a lot of years, waiting tables and tending bar, and you learn so much just observing people and watching people and knowing people. And I don't know if this is every writer, but we're watchers. We're people watchers, and we observe, and, you know, we're very, most writers also have a great deal of empathy, mm-hmm. and you really listen. You have to really, really listen when people talk. You know, sometimes there are certain personalities that they don't really listen to the other person. They're just trying to think of what they're going to say next, and you know what I mean? So
yes.
But I've always been a listener, and I've always been, like, fascinated to hear people's stories. And so I think that, and, you know, I have a husband, too. So it's like not all my characters are like him, far from it. But but he's, you know, he resembles a couple of my characters. You know, if it's something like guy stuff, like car horse, I can always ask him that kind of stuff. But really, you know, they're not intimidating for me to write. You know, I don't, but I also haven't written, no, that's not true. I've written from a man's point of view in, aside from the thriller, a couple of short stories. One was an older man who ran a funeral parlor, and then I don't know if you heard of this one, Randy, but do you remember No Mores? Did you ever read that one?
Oh, the elf? Was it that one?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was written from a young man's point of view, and I think I did okay with it, and my husband read it, and I don't know how to explain it. I just never really have that intimidation. I mean, I've written from an older person's point of view, and I've never done children's stories, but so I've even written from the doc's point of view.
Yes.
So, yeah, it just wasn't, it never really occurred to me to go an extra mile or anything like that. Or, you know, I never, like, put on a man's suit and try to walk into a room or something like that. So.
I think you hit on something with that empathy, you know, that something that you can just draw on and, you know, your observations of people. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's a special talent, you know. Like you said, you know, you like to be observant and to listen to people, and you have a way of making that connection with them and using it in the writing. I think that's really cool.
You know, and I just think it's just a personality trait, and I think it's like a highly sensitive person personality trait, and it's got a lot of darkness to it as well.
Right.
I you can get very depressed and very you know, you can almost be too empathetic or too nice or too, you know, and then you become a little bit of a pushover and think, you know what I mean?
So
it's a fine balance that you have to find, but that's, I think there's a lot of people like that in the world. And I think a lot of that is where some mental illness like depression and things center from is, you know, that empathy where, you know, you just feel the whole weight of the world.
Do you feel like writing is a way to deal with it, to kind of purge some of it maybe?
I think that journaling is definitely the best thing for that kind of situation. I mean, I don't really know if the fiction changes that or you know what I mean? Because to me, the fiction is also very personal. But I think for people that maybe suffer from serious bouts of depression, I think journaling is just the greatest way to sort of release that toxin, you know, that sort of dwells within us once in a while.
I can see that completely, almost like in someone that does, you know, if you have depression and such, it's almost like you don't want to tell other people about it, but if you can like spew it out on the page, at least you got it out and it's like out of you. And like you said, that ink is almost like the toxin coming out of you and kind of like making you feel better. I could completely see that and understand the whole process.
And you're right. A lot of people don't want to talk about it and don't want to, because there's so much stigma still. I mean, I think we've come a long way with that kind of thing, but there is stigma, and you feel like maybe that's a weakness, and it's really not. It's sort of the opposite. It's, you know, because if you are a very empathetic person, like we were talking about, then you're kind of taking on everyone's emotions, and you get to a point where you break a little bit. You know, you crack, and you have to mend yourself back together.
Very much so.
I don't suffer from clinical depression, so I can't really speak to that. But yeah, you know, I think everyone goes through some dark times, and some are darker than others, and they last longer than others. And writing of any form really is a good way to help, and so is reading. You know, reading is a good way too to get out of your own head for a while, get away from the world, just escape.
Oh, I completely agree with that.
I will too. And as somebody, like, I don't mind telling people, because most of our listeners kind of already know based on things that I share, but I actually do go through bouts of clinical depression. I was actually diagnosed when I was in my early teens.
Okay.
And it's a hereditary thing in my family for some reason. And that's where reading came. A love of it came much earlier than my early teens, but that's when I really delved into it. And I think you're very correct in saying that reading can get you out of it, because it takes you to another world that's not yours, or you can find a common connection in a character.
Right.
And say, okay, well, maybe my life is not so bad because look at this. And it does, it changes everything. I did journal briefly, so that's why I was like, that kind of, I see that too.
Oh yeah, you can also watch Jerry Springer too.
Yes, yes.
To remind yourself that your life is not that bad.
Which in high school we had a couple that I went to high school with on Jerry Springer, so that made everyone's day even better, because theirs was not like
seriously
fake. Yes, it was like a for real thing. Everybody went home from like work and school to watch it. Like, it was like tumbleweeds rolling through the town, so everybody could go watch this.
They were in high school?
Yeah, they were like fresh out of high school, like right out of high school. Yeah.
Oh, so they were like over 18.
They were barely 18, but yes. They were at Jerry Springer, and everyone in town watched it, even if you didn't. So that made everyone feel, they were like, my life doesn't suck. Look at this.
Oh my God!
Yes, it was great. Well, not for them, but
yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. I knew Jerry Springer was going to come out today, right?
Yeah, I knew.
Well, speaking of things that I guess could go south, or it could be a good thing. Well, I don't know how Jerry could be. Well, good, Jerry was good for me, so it could be a good thing, I guess. Do you read most, like when somebody reviews a book, and maybe it's not one of us in the group, maybe it's just somebody random on Goodreads or Amazon, do you read those? And how do you deal, I mean, obviously the amazing ones, and then there's ugly ones. Like, how do you deal with both of those?
You know, well, okay, that changes too over time. My first book I read many reviews, mostly to learn what worked for people and what didn't work, you know. I found that, you know, some people were just wrong. You know, like, even some down to the research, you know, some, like, it's interesting because the town it's based on is a town I lived in. And I would have, somebody would say something silly like, there's no fancy restaurants in a small town. Well, I mean, like, little stuff like that. I just whatever. And the nasty ones I find hilarious. I had one taped up behind my toilet for like a year. I mean, because she was just so mean that it was funny. Because I'm like, wow, if really that's all you have to bitch about in your life, man, you've got it made, woman, you know? So, but I learned a lot from that first book and reviews and things. But then I started to build an audience online, and now I just go directly to you guys. Like, I haven't had a party in a while, but the Facebook parties, I learn a lot from those, and those people, you know, I'll say, what did you like about this? What didn't you like? You know, things like that. So I have more difficulty if I'm writing in another world. I've written several stories for Kindle Worlds. All of them I was invited to write in. So it wasn't like dabbling in someone's world without their permission. But those are kind of difficult because for those stories, I do research for that because I just read all the other books the author has written. And when I get a negative review in the world, I kind of just go, well, you know, that's kind of a bummer because I would have liked to have gained a new reader from, you know, but if it didn't resonate with them because they're used to that other tone of a different author, you know, that's kind of a bummer. But no, I don't get upset. I just let it roll off my back. Everybody's got an opinion and a computer, you know. I mean, you could spend your days just crying over that stuff, but then I get the most wonderful emails, and it makes up for it. The only time I ever got very upset was, and it was within the 10 range. Like I said, I usually read the first 10, and it was pretty bad. It was pretty negative, and it was a book I published, Phantom Quartz. It was the sixth JC book. I was really, really proud of it, and I wrote it in a very dark time. I finished writing it in a very difficult time in my life, to the point where I wasn't even going to finish it. I had a loss, and I really had a hard time getting over it. And I just pushed through, and I published it while I was still grieving, and I made the mistake of reading this negative review, and I was pissed. Like, but it was mostly because I was still in that raw emotion state. And I kind of went and did like a little online rant about it, which I would never normally do. But, and you guys all were like rallying me on, and it just made me feel better. So really, I really just don't even, you know, I don't dwell on that. And I get so many wonderful emails from people who I've helped. I get, it's interestingly enough, that we've been just talking about the subject, but I get a lot of emails from people who have clinical depression, and they'll say, you know, your books really helped me, or you know, my mom was dying and I spent many hours in the hospital and your books helped me. And you know, you get stuff like, you get feedback like that is what I treasure, you know. How does it go? Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Like, that's kind of my
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that if I was a creator, that would be just like the ultimate, you know. Hearing stories like that would make me want to do more and keep going and keep telling stories.
And that's exactly it, Jennifer. I'm still kind of going through it, but those emails, I tell you what, they got me right back on the computer, or at least brainstorming, at least thinking of ideas, you know. It definitely helps, because then I remember why I write, and it's not necessarily for me, certainly not for money, you know. I'm not Stephen King. It's for my readers and my fans, especially the ones who followed a series. I can't, you know, you can't just give up on them, and I would never do that, you know. So it definitely makes my whole day, my whole week, my whole year. When I get mail like that, it's just so nice.
I love that. I'm glad we've spoken to another author on this podcast before, and you know, he kind of said the same thing, and you know, I think that's cool that you guys feed off of that energy, because like Miranda and I, we're such big fangirls. So we just give off that energy, and then you guys actually receive it and respond to it, and I don't know, it's kind of a beautiful thing. I feel like it, you know, it's kind of connecting us in a way that we would never be.
Absolutely. You guys are definitely part of the circle. I mean, you're part of the process, really. Authors definitely feed off that. I can't speak for everyone, but I know myself and my friends that I've talked to, you know, we dig that.
Well, we will continue to fangirl. That will never cease.
No. I mean, look, I fangirled so hard that I made someone become my friend on Facebook, and now I'm interviewing her 2 years later. So.
She is hardcore.
Dedication to this.
Well, who are some of your favorite authors?
Oh, gosh. So many. So for modern day authors, I really love Christopher Moore. Cracks me up. I like J.A. Conrath. And Miranda, if you like audiobooks, I don't know if his book is still on sale, but his books are based in Chicago on a detective named Jack Daniels. And the audio I just picked up for like $1.89 because I had the Kindle version already. Is amazing. There's several different actors in it, so it's really cool. And it's so funny to listen to people who are trying to talk with a Chicago accent. My husband and myself, we always, you know, they'll pick us out of a lineup, like, are you from Chicago? You sound like you have a Chicago accent. I'm like, hey, that doesn't resonate with me at all. You can't really hear it yourself, but it's funny to listen to. Like, they all sound like Dan Aykroyd.
And I'm one of those that they're like, you have family in Chicago and you like all these Chicago fans, but you definitely are not from Chicago. I'm like, no, I'm married in. I'm from Kentucky. And they were like, oh. Like,
what was the question? I don't feel like I answered.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Your favorite authors. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So he's another one. I love Poe. I'm a huge Shakespeare fan. Always liked Mark Twain. Let's see, other authors. Christiana Miller. I've co-written with her. I really like her, and she writes similar to me because she's also she writes. How do I put this? She writes about real practical magic. Well, she's a witch. I'll just say it.
That's the lady that did the... No, is she the one that wrote the Somebody Tell Aunt Tilly books?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I liked those, yes.
I like her a lot. Angie Fox is really entertaining. I like her,
yes,
too.
I like her, Angie.
If you like paranormal romance, Kristen Painter is pretty popular. I'm not really into the romance that much, but her books are pretty fun. Oh, and I read this. I love Gillian Flynn. I also like a lot of different genres. So, love Gillian Flynn. Love Gone Girl. That was like one of my favorite books of all time. Oh, and there's an author, Jennifer McMahon. She also writes kind of magical realism. She writes suspense books, but there's always this sort of magical element. I like Janet Ivanovich. I haven't really kept up with her series, but I enjoyed the first, I don't know, six or so books in that, in her Stephanie Plum series. What is her name? I'm not gonna know her name. There is a trilogy, and I believe the first book is Crane, and then Raven, and then I think Steam. And her name escapes me at the moment, but oh my gosh, I plowed through those books. They were fantastic. It's based on, it's like a retelling of The Headless Horseman.
Oh, cool.
Really, really good. And it's, but the main character is a woman. It's a very unique story. And they all tie together very well. I really, really enjoyed those books. And it's rare that I read so much, but it's rare that I'll like stay up or stop working or, you know, like I have to finish it. And that, her series, I did that with.
I'm going to have to find those.
Yeah,
that
too.
Sounds like something I would definitely be interested in.
Oh, highly recommend. Seriously.
I love how many of your favorite authors are women. I don't know. That just struck me.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. And she's a woman too. I like Stephen King.
Me too.
Not every book of his, but I do enjoy reading his stuff. And Dean Koontz.
Yes.
Yes.
But yeah, well, Christopher Moore, Conrad, but they're men.
Yeah.
Which I bought his book because you posted it, you recommended it once. There's been several authors that I have found through you. Like, I found you through a narrator, and then I found several other authors, Christopher Moore, Angie Fox, and Rose Presti. I found all of them through you. So I think it's amazing how, like, it just keeps evolving. If you find, like, a certain genre or a certain series, you can really find more and more that just kind of, maybe not are the same, but kind of spin off because of what the author likes or their writing styles or things like that.
And, you know, that's what's so great about social media is we can share that stuff. And usually I'll state if I've read it. Because, I mean, sometimes I just recommend stuff like a friend of mine has a new book out or something, and I'll just say, hey, new book out. But unless I actually say I've read it, I might not have read it. I usually always make a note, okay, I've definitely read this one, you guys. So it's always kind of like, you know, read at your own, you know, approach at your own risk. But if it's like a Rose Presti, I'm sure that most of my fans also like her. So that's, yes. You know, it's sort of a similar genre. But yeah, that is what's really cool about social media. And that's why I really like the groups that I've created. share what you read and what you like. And I mean, I don't say I would never share a book that I hated. You know, I never say don't buy this, but
keep it classy.
Yeah, exactly. If you have that Kindle, then the audio should be like $1.99 if you pick it up.
Yeah, I'll go check that out.
So you know.
I'm gonna have to look at that. Yeah, I've had to write a review on a book that I was asked to, like, hey, I'm going to give you this copy for you to review it. And it turned out I emailed the author first. And I was like, just so you know, I'm not being mean, but I did not enjoy this. Do you want me to continue with the review?
Oof.
So I think it was more about the, because, you know, I do tend to read some of, like, the paranormal romance and stuff. And it was just way more over the top visual than I could handle. I understand what you're saying. Like, don't ever come out and say, don't buy this. So I didn't say that. I did not say that.
No, but you have to be honest. And it doesn't mean it's a bad book. It just means it's not your cup of tea. I don't like everything. I mean, honestly, I'm in an author group and I love all the authors, but I don't like all their books. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sort of like we're friends and we exchange information on publishing and stuff. But like I said, I'm really not into romance all that much. So some of the, you know, some of the books are just not for me, but they're not bad. You know, they're right. Great books. Just and other people absolutely love them. It's just not my thing, you know. Or like, I mean, like a Western or something like that. That's just not my thing. You know, high fantasy, like science fiction type fantasy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's reading is so subjective. It's just what you, it's just, you know, it's like watching television. Not everybody likes every show there is. And so, you know.
There's a meme that I kind of live by. It's like to telling people, like, don't judge, like, your friend by what they're reading. Because, I mean, honestly, you may not like it, but there may be a reason that they're really into it. Mm-hmm. So I just find it, you know, kind of fascinating to see, like, even as an author, like, what your favorite books were. Because it just, it's like, oh, yeah, that's different. No, I don't really read him, but he's good. You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
What are some of your favorite artists or bands, music-wise? What do you like to listen to? Do you listen to music when you write?
No, not at all.
No?
I listen to white noise when I write. I might listen to music when I plot. If I'm, like, I mean, I don't pre-plot, but if I'm working at, like I said, if I've got a corner I need to write my way out of, and I'm just, like, throwing ideas up on the board, I might listen to music then. But no, I don't when I write. When I cook dinner and stuff, so I, Bruce Springsteen is an all-time favorite. let's see, I like old stuff too. I like Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. I like to you know, and definitely hardcore 80s rock.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Band.
Heck yeah.
I think everybody loves some 80s rock.
So, yeah, I'm not a huge music fan. I have a friend that's just so into music and always going to concerts. Always, I'm like, oh my god, how do you, you know, how do you even handle that? I mean, you know, we're in our 40s. Jeez, it's just too loud.
You know? I'm in my 30s and it's just too loud. Yes. Like, are we here again?
These kids with their rock music these days.
Right.
What about movies? Do you have a favorite movie?
Everybody
has a favorite movie, but
God, I have such a hard time like categorizing them. Love Practical Magic. I watch that every year. if I had to pick a true favorite, it's got to be Midnight Run. Just one of my husband and I watch it all the time. We could pretty much recite every single line. I just think it's one of the funniest things ever written. And it's got De Niro in it, and you can't really go wrong with him. And Christmas Vacation.
Heck
definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Blues Brothers. Oh, Sandlot. Have you ever?
Yes. A classic.
Okay. Love that one. Jaws. Oh god, we have a theater room in this house that we have now.
Sweet.
There is, yeah, isn't that cool? It was here when we bought it. So man, nothing like watching Jaws on the big screen. Oh, and Practical Magic we watched up there too. It's so much more powerful, like, because you hear the sound from all different directions. So yeah, definitely. I don't really like slasher movies or anything like that.
What I'm hearing is that you're going to invite us to your house for a sleepover and watch movies.
Fun fact, she actually did invite a whole group of us, and it fell through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, she did. We were all, like, ready to go.
Yeah, I had so many cancellations. I was just like, you know, I just thought, I don't know if this is going to pan out. And so I didn't want to have all, you know, do the whole catering thing, have all this food, and nobody show up. So
yeah.
Or it be that awkward, like, only three people, and you're like,
right.
Hey.
That's when I'm like, all right, we're getting in a limo and going to a bar or something.
Heck yeah.
We'll go line dancing.
Line dancing.
Hey, that's what they do at bars. Come on, we live in South Alabama. You know that.
I've never line danced in a bar in my whole life.
Oh, really?
Seriously? No.
Hey, even I've done that.
I was going to say, I've done that a lot.
Now, karaoke is one thing, but...
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any more questions for Barb?
I think we ask them. Well, I do have to. It's kind of funny because we usually have the whole song question. And originally, our plan before real life things just started getting in the mix is we wanted this to be a Halloween show. And like a couple of days before we were originally supposed to record with you, somebody posted this meme thing, and it said, "If you were on a psychotic killing spree, what song would you be playing? Like, would be playing during it?" Because you know, like in the movie, there's always something playing. And I don't know why, but I was like, I have to ask this question. Like, I want to know, like, what would everybody else's song be?
Like, if I was on a killing spree,
if you were on a killing spree, like, what song do you think would be playing in the background?
Huh. That is a good question. I'd have to go with, like, some Metallica, probably. Because I always feel real angry when I listen to Metallica. I usually want to go smash stuff. What about you, Barb?
Maybe Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
See, I want to be the one that, like, is entertaining people while doing so.
Oh.
So I'd be like, Black Betty would be playing. I'd be like,
that's good.
And I'd be like, kind of.
Or travel one down to Georgia.
That's good too.
That's a good option. That is a good option.
Black Betty, that's hilarious. Now that song's going to be in my head all day.
Well, you can imagine the laughter I was trying to control when I saw that. And I was reading everybody's answers. And I was like, man. You people need some
new
choices.
Okay, you totally have to post that in the bar. You have to post that now.
Oh, you want me to put it in the group?
Yeah, that would be... Yeah, I would love that.
Okay, let me find it.
I like participation posts. They're fun.
If I can't find the meme, I can just type it out.
Right, there you go.
That's funny.
You could just find a picture of Eddie Krueger or something.
I could do that. As obsessed as Jason, so. He shouldn't be. He's 10.
All right. Do you have any more questions?
Come on, ask me another question.
I had some really good ones, like, and now I'm kind of stumped.
You didn't write them down?
Well, I, like, wrote down some that I thought were, like, really amazing, and we asked you. So now I'm like, what's another really amazing one that I could ask? Well, you have referenced Spider-Man in one of the Stacy books. So do you have three favorite comic book characters or?
Oh, I do like those movies too. I don't actually read comic books. I do like the movies and I love Wonder Woman. Gotta be Wonder Woman.
Hell yeah.
My Spider-Man, so...
But I do love Thor. I mean, I'm very partial to Thor.
Yes, you are. And then... I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm thinking of, like, the things that we ask our friend Brett when he was on, which he's an illustrator. He's also a writer, because he has to write, like, the story to some of his graphic novels. But I was trying to think. I was like, well, what did we ask him that would be just, like, really amazing? I think you mentioned before you don't like really watch a whole lot of television, but when you and Gio sit down, like, what is something that you're like?
Oh, I watch TV. No,
oh.
I do.
Okay.
I don't watch reality shows.
Ugh, me either.
Me either.
So if we sit down and watch, one of my favorite shows lately is The Mindy Project.
Yes.
If we watch together, Lucifer, I just love that show.
I love Lucifer.
So well
Jenny written. Really loves Mindy.
Yeah, I love Mindy.
Oh, you like Mindy too? Oh,
I
my
do.
God. I just love that show.
I did too.
We should have we should have a whole nother show just talking about Mindy.
Well, we will have a whole nother show talking about Gilmore Girls in a couple weeks, if you ever watch Gilmore Girls.
I've actually never seen that one. I know this is a revival now, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it starts later in the month.
Oh, Once Upon a Time, of course.
Oh, yes.
Love watching Hell's Kitchen. Ramsey just cracks me up.
He is hysterical. Like, he comes up with some words too that I'd be like, using that. Using that.
He calls him a Muppet, and it's just hilarious. Yeah, definitely Lucifer. And Sleepy Hollow, which I guess that got renewed. I really like that show, especially the very beginning. It was so funny. It's Ichabod Crane is what it's based on.
Yeah.
Yeah, they renewed it, but I think it's the last season. Isn't that what we found out?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
They renewed it, but they're saying, like, this is it. And I was like, dang it, why are you doing that to all the ones I really like? Yeah. Sleepy Hollow, Grimm, they did it to something else, too. It was very disappointing.
About Grimm?
Yeah, there's not going to be any more Grimm. Like, they're going to finish it, and then that's it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's so, too.
I think that's why I liked the Ever After trilogy so much, is it's like Disney meets Desperate Housewives meets like Grimm, like all at once. Fantastic.
Did you read the second one?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. I'm really dying to find out what people think about the whole Red and Snow thing, but I probably shouldn't talk about it right here because I might share this. So.
Well, I don't think Jenny's had a chance to read it either.
I'm sorry?
I don't think Jenny's had a chance to read it, and I really want her to read those. I think she
Don't spoil it for
me.
You didn't spoil anything. You're good.
So you've read the Stacey books, Jenny, or no?
I read the first one.
Okay.
I liked it a lot.
She was very happy with it. I was like, come on, read this lady, please.
I like Cinnamon a lot. She's sassy. I like her.
Sassy,
The sisters. I kind of like the sisters.
Where can people find you on social media, Barb?
You know, I'm pretty much only on Facebook. I have a Pinterest, though. I'm on that a lot, but you know, you can't really interact there. So I don't really do Twitter or Snapchat or any of that stuff. It's just mostly just Facebook.
Well, that's cool. Do you have a page?
Yeah, it's just I think if you looked up author Barbara Anino, it should come up, and then our fan page is the Badassery Bar.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's where
she is on Goodreads. If you would like to write a nice review,
I avoid Goodreads like the plague.
I have a love hate relationship with it. Because I don't like on there how someone can write a review before the book is out. And I get that's for those that got, like, pre-release copies. But I'm like, that means anybody can write a review before the book is out and just say, I don't like this person. You shouldn't read their book. Right. That's my hate with them. Well, but my love with them is that I found some great authors and other works that I didn't know that they've done, because everything's listed there for you.
That's true. Yeah. It's more organized now, and I think there's a lot less, you know, I mean, it used to be kind of nasty. Like,
it really did.
Like, almost threatening. There was a lot of author pages discussing, like, blog posts discussing some of the more horrific, you know, I mean, it was, like, really, like, authors I'd like to kill, and, like, you know.
No!
Even worse than that. I mean, it was really bad. But I think with the change in ownership, I think they kind of cut down on some of that threatening sort of posts. But yeah, so I am there. Oh, and anybody can always email me or visit my website, which is just my name, BarbaraNino.com.
All right. Before we let you go, Miranda...
Oh, is it time for me to do my... All right, I'll see if my throat will allow me to do it. So, it's that time that I think everybody has come to love. Barbara was a little hesitant to stay for, but she is going to. So, it's
nerd eye candy of the moment. Okay, it's done. Okay. That hurt this time.
So we're really just, you know, it's just meant to be something fun and silly. Just somebody you know, thinks attractive, doesn't have to be any substantive, like, some reasons why. Just, you know, somebody you're geeking out about, somebody that you think's hot, you know, just a silly little
thing. They don't
even
have to be, like, real-life people.
Yeah.
I got one. The guy from Lucifer, I think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's
There's
a good
something
choice.
Really smoldering about him, obviously. I mean, the character he plays, of course, but, yeah. I like the dark-haired men. So.
Yes. That is a good
And I
choice.
Really... And also, I don't know if the actor who plays Ichabod Crane, I like him with the long hair.
Yeah, he does look a lot better with long hair. I don't know his name either.
It's evading me, because I've actually listened to he did audio version of the Sleepy Hollow story a few years ago, and Audible released it. Like,
really?
Here, you can have it. Yeah, they like gave it to everybody around Halloween, and it's fantastic.
You know, and that's this is funny. You should say that. That's the other interesting thing. I'm really attracted to voices. You know, it sounds weird.
Oh, no, it's not a weird thing.
But I love his voice. Really? Okay.
No, that's not weird at all. That is where my deep love of Benedict Cumberbatch originally came from.
Is that his name?
Was his voice.
He does have a great voice.
Yeah.
Oh, and all the cubs.
Well, since that's what you said, I guess I'll go next, because this podcast pick for me is the dynamic duo of Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo from the World Series winning Chicago Cubs.
Very nice.
Because, oh my lord. I mean, did anybody watch Saturday Night Live?
I did.
Oh.
That was like Miranda's big night.
Oh, Miranda was having all kinds of like problems. It was Cumberbatch and the Cubs together, and I think I was flailing and making some noises, and my brother and husband were like, "What is wrong with you?" And I was like, "Do you have to ask? Like, do we not see what is on in front of Miranda?" And before that, I had watched a live concert with Weird Al, so I was like, "This night is amazing." Does it get any better? Because he actually came out and did an
odd
combination.
Very odd.
Like, I was sick, so here I am medicated, and I get to watch Weird Al live, and then I get to see all like the Cubs dancing and grind, and I'm like, oh, and then yeah. I almost had a stroke. Like,
a
quite
stroke
close to the
one
I had on the
night
that the Cubs did win the World Series. Which I actually sent Barbara a message right after, and I was like, that's what a stroke feels like. I couldn't, yeah. That was a fantastic evening. The one that we won the series and Saturday night, they were both equally fantastic. You can tell I really get into this segment. It's like,
yes, it's
my
fun.
Area.
It's fun. Well, mine comes from something that came out, I think it was last week. The new Wonder Woman trailer came out, and I've been waiting on that movie, and I'm obsessed with that trailer, with all the trailers that have come out so far. I'm obsessed with her theme music. I'm reading the comic books that they're doing now, the Rebirth, the Wonder Woman Rebirth. Just phenomenal stuff. So Wonder Woman is my nerd eye candy, and not even eye candy. She's everything candy. She's mind candy. She's heart candy. She's just gorgeous, and I mean, I'm super, super fangirl about Wonder Woman in all of her forms.
Are we going to change this to all the things candy?
All the things candy. Seriously, I can't just call her out for eye candy. I mean, I can. She's very gorgeous, but...
She's a very pretty woman.
Yeah, but she's just really one of those characters that is just... I've fallen in love with over the past couple of months, and I'm just, I cannot wait for this movie. It's going to be amazing.
Do you know when it's coming out?
It's summer, I think. Next summer? Is that right?
I think so. I think it's slated for the summer. Yeah. And we'll go to that handy-dandy IMDb that I like to see what the projected... Okay, no, I didn't click on that. No. Well, that says 2017, so June, they're saying June, right now, yeah. Which we all know this could change, but they're saying June 2nd of 2017. So
I think they'll probably stick with that, but I can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
It will be fantastic.
All right, well, I guess that's it for this show. Thank you so much for being on, Barb.
Oh, thank you, guys. This was so much fun. My days are usually so, you know, quiet and lonely, so it's really fun to talk to you guys. And George is gone, so you kind of brighten up my day and let me mouth on for a little bit. So that was, I had a lot of fun.
We're glad. We're very excited. We've been waiting for a while to, like when we first started, she was like, who could we have as guest? I was like, well, I have this author friend, and I think I want to... So, I mean, this has been in the works, like, even before we ask you, kind of secretly. So we're very excited that you were able to make it and be here and share laughs and stories with us. It's been great.
It's a lot of fun, you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Definitely let me know about the Mindy show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We will talk about that, I'm sure, at some point, if you want to keep up with our podcasts.
Yeah, anyway, don't forget to send me the link.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. I'm on Twitter, as always, JennyCruz2814. Miranda and I together are on Twitter at Geek and Sassy.
And you can also find us now, guys, on Instagram, where we will be sharing our favorite comic panels of the week and other updates, as well as you can find me on Twitter, as always, at Mom's a Nerd.
Thanks for listening. Come back next time. Bye.
Bye.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still, we're often told, seek and you shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. Somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost. someone to watch over me. Tell him please to put on some speed.